So we continue today in our sermon series about the gospel according to Disney. Last week we looked at the movie Brave and talked about Merida and her true calling and what it took for her to discover that and follow that. And today we turn to the movie The Jungle Book. Now there are 56 Disney animated classics, starting back in the 30s and running until today. Now Walt Disney himself died in 1966, and so most of them he didn't have anything personally to do with, but the first 19 he personally oversaw and had a hand in each of those. And it just so happens that the 19th of those movies, the last one that Disney had a hand in overseeing and in making personally, was The Jungle Book. The Jungle Book. And so we turn to this story today. As you might imagine by the name of the movie, it happens in a jungle. In a jungle in India, in fact. And it centers on a young boy named Mowgli. Now, throughout the movie, he's called a man cub because the movie has lots of animals in it, and that's how they refer to a young human boy, as a man cub. Now, Mowgli, when he is a baby, he is abandoned and left in the jungle. And Bagheera, the wise and responsible panther, finds Mowgli as a baby and wants to protect him and care for him and make sure that he lives and thrives and grows up. And so he takes Mowgli to a wolf pack. And that wolf pack adopts him and raises him, cares for him, teaches him how to live in the jungle, how to find his food and all those kinds of things. And so for 10 years, Mowgli lives and is raised by this pack of wolves. But as he turns about 10 years old, he's getting older, he's getting bigger, he's growing up, and he's starting to stand out in the jungle. And there is fear that Shere Khan, the tiger who hates humans, who wants to kill humans, will find Mowgli and kill him. And so Mowgli needs to get back to be with other humans. He needs to go to a human village to be around the other people and to be raised the rest of the way by them and to be safe and protected from Shere Khan. And so most of the movie is this journey that Mowgli, along with many other animals, go on to get from a place of danger into a place of safety. Now, as you can see in the picture on the screen, there are lots of animals that join Mowgli and that help him or try to hinder him on this journey. The first is Bagheera, the panther that I mentioned, the one who is responsible, the one who takes charge and who watches over Mowgli and makes sure that he is protected. Of course, there are the wolves as well who raise him and watch over him. But as they set out on the journey, it's Bagheera who goes with Mowgli. And they go for a while and soon they encounter Ka, the snake, who you can see coiled around the tree there. And Ka gets Mowgli into a trance, trying to capture him and kill him and eat him. But they are able to escape. In the morning, a herd of elephants come by. You can see Colonel Hathi there, one of the elephants, and his little son. And Mowgli befriends them as well and learns from them. Continues on the journey. He meets King Louie, the orangutan. You can see kind of behind Mowgli there. If you remember the song, I Want to Be Like You, just one of the most fun songs in the story. But King Louie captures Mowgli and wants to learn the secret of fire from him. But again, he's able to escape. Along the way, he makes a new friend who is named Baloo, and that is the bear, fairly near the center of the picture there. And Baloo is kind of a foil to Bagheera. Baloo is carefree and doesn't take responsibility, just wants to live life and enjoy life, and teaches Mowgli about the bear necessities. I think we're going to hear from the choir a little bit later about that. But Baloo doesn't have a care in the world, and so you think that he might not really care for Mowgli, but as we see as the movie progresses, he really does care for this child and wants to protect and make sure that he is safe. Towards the end of the movie, they encounter some vultures who look suspiciously like the Beatles. So this was made in the 60s. They've got mop-top hairs, the haircuts. They have British accents. It's really kind of funny, especially, you know, 50 years later looking at it. But the vultures want to teach Mowgli about friendship, what it means to be a friend, and want to be his friend and welcome him in. And so we're going to watch a song that they sing and learn about friendship from them.
Everybody's got to have friends. Hey, Phyllis, are we his friends?
We're your friends. We're your friends. We're your friends to the bitter end.
The bitter end.
When you're alone.
When you're alone.
Who comes around?
Who comes around?
To pluck you up.
Give us a smile.
When you are down.
When you are. Outside looking in, who's there to open the door?
Come on, kid, we need a tenor.
What friends are for? Who's always eager to extend a friendly claw? That's what friends are for. You're lost, in dire need, who's at your side, at lightning speed. We're friends with every creature coming down the pike. In fact, we've never met an animal we didn't like.
You take it, kid.
Didn't like.
So you can see, we're friends. We're friends in need and friends in
That's what friends are for.
Bravo, bravo. An extraordinary performance.
All right, so that's Shere Khan there at the end. He kind of invades their song and inserts himself, and he is the one who is after Mowgli, who wants to kill him. And so this great battle ensues right after this, this great fight, and it is Baloo the bear, the one who's carefree, who doesn't want any responsibility, who ultimately jumps in and rescues Mowgli from Shere Khan, saves his life. And as that's happening, Mowgli gets lights a torch and ties it to the tiger's tail, and he runs off into the jungle, and everything turns out okay. Baloo and Bagheera then take Mowgli to the human village, and he meets a young girl who's drawing water and follows her back to the village. And then at the very end of the movie, the last scene is this picture here of Bagheera and Baloo, the two opposites, one very responsible and one carefree, who've united, who've become friends throughout this journey, and they go back into the jungle together to be friends, presumably for the rest of their life. When the movie was completed, they had a showing of the movie for all the employees at Disney. And this was right after Walt Disney himself had passed away. He passed away during kind of the post-production phase. And so his personal nurse was invited to be part of the showing. And she watched the movie and at the end saw this scene and started to cry and spoke to one of the animators and said that the ending was perfect. The two of them walking off, because that's just how Walt left the world. A neat image. In the end, though, this movie is about our need for one another, our need for community, our need for friends on this journey of life and faith together. Mowgli would never have made it to the human village to safety without the help of all those other animals along the way, without the help of his friends. Lucy did a magnificent job reading from Hebrews for us this morning, and in chapter 11, it lists a lot of the heroes of our faith. It talks about Abraham and Moses, Joshua, and some of the judges, some of the kings, some of the prophets, and all the things that they went through in their lives. And we often think of these people as great and heroic individuals, that they had strong faith or that they did individually these amazing, wonderful acts of faith. But the reality is that they were all part of a community. They all had others who helped them along the way. None of them stood on their own in faith. In fact, a standalone faith doesn't really even make sense. Faith is a communal enterprise. When we think about all these heroes of the faith that we read about, Abraham, well, he was married to Sarah, and she walked with him every step of the way. His nephew Lot journeyed with him as well, and there were so many others who came around him and were part of their great journey. We think about Moses, the one who we think of as the great deliverer leading the people out of slavery in Egypt into the promised land, but Moses didn't do it alone. His brother Aaron was with him. His sister Miriam. His father-in-law Jethro, gave him some wonderful advice about how to spread the load and share with others. It was not just Moses. It was many others doing it together. Chapter 11 mentions the story of the fall of Jericho. And it wasn't just Joshua who walked up and knocked on the gate and the walls fall down. No, the entire mass of the Israelites marched around the city for 7 days together. And then when the trumpets blew, the walls fell down. It took all of them together. Even think about David, the great king, he had a great friend as a young man, Jonathan, who helped him navigate through some difficult times. And then as a king, he surrounded himself with some mighty men, as the scriptures describe them. People who were devoted to him and cared for him and had the same goals that he had. And even when we think about Jesus himself, if there were ever anyone who didn't need other people, who could do it by himself, who was strong enough and faithful enough, it was Jesus. But Jesus didn't do it alone. He called 12 disciples to come and join him on that journey. We all need other people in our lives. We all need to be part of a community of faith. We all need friends. We need people who will pray for us, who will hold us accountable, who will support us and encourage us and do all the things that the body of faith, the church, is called and supposed to do. I could tell you story after story after story of how people have come together and supported each other in difficult times. I'm tempted to just run off a whole bunch of stories. We'll do a few here. The first is from my own life. When our daughter Rebecca was born, as many of you know, she was extremely premature, spent 123 days in the neonatal ICU at Vanderbilt. We had just started at a church, Bethpage United Methodist Church, up in Sumner County. In fact, Becca was born on a Saturday, and the next day, Sunday, was supposed to be our first Sunday there. And throughout that difficult time, we had so many people who came around us and supported us. My parents, who were here fleeing the hurricane in Florida, came and supported us then. Nancy's parents were here. We had friends and other family come. People bring us food. The church came around us and did some amazing things. We had to travel back and forth every day, and so people from all over the country sent us gift cards, and people were praying for us. We could not have made it through that time if it were not for the love and support of other people in our lives. I think about Raise the Roof, one of the ministries that we support here at Blakemore. It's a ministry in Uganda. There is a school that is there and a medical clinic and other things. And David Sublime and his wife Marlene had this vision to start this school and to care for the children there. They couldn't have done that alone. There were so many people who came around them and supported them. People like you and I who sponsor these children, who give money every month to provide for them. People who've gone on mission trips there. We're going to hear some stories in a few weeks about that, but going to teach and to help people become better leaders and to do medical care and all these things. And it takes all of us working together for something like that to happen. I know many of our hearts and minds are on the hurricane that's happening in Florida and all the people who've fled from there. And we think also of Hurricane Harvey in Texas and all the destruction in Houston and the surrounding area. It will take a united effort of so many different people to help those folks recover, to get life back to normal. As my parents were driving up here They were headed northbound, and my dad commented that there were lots of rescue vehicles and power line trucks and things heading south. People who were already on the way to help those who are in need. And I think about how many times in the life of the church I've seen people go through tragedies, whether it's a death of someone that you love or an illness or whatever it might be, and how the church has come around folks and cared for them, loved them, provided for them, brought meals and whatever it might be. That is when we are at our best, friends. That is what it means to be the church, to surround each other with a community of love, of care, of forgiveness. We see that in the Jungle Book. Mowgli needs all these other animals to help him get to where he is going, to get to safety. We see it in Hebrews and in the story of our faith over and over and over again. We need each other. We need to be taught by one another. We need to practice love and care together. And in our own lives, we experience it as well in church. And so, friends, let us commit ourselves to being part of community, to being part of the body of Christ together. For it's not in standing solitary and standing firm and strong by ourselves. That's not what it's about. Even though our culture might teach that, even though there are messages all around us that tell us that that's what it means to be good or strong or whatever. No, it's much more about giving and receiving. It's much more about being vulnerable with one another. It's about needing and receiving. And so, let us follow these examples. Let us commit ourselves to one another, to giving and receiving, to being authentic with each other. And as Hebrews tells us, let us run with perseverance the race that is before us. But let us remember that a race is never something you do by yourself. There are always others who are part of the race with us. Amen.